Beloved congregation of the Lord and the prophet Isaiah, from chapter 40 on, is always a popular part of Scripture at this time of the year, but at other times too. It's that section of the prophecy in which he speaks of the servant of Jehovah, whom we know is the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah speaks words of comfort and peace to God's people who are in exile. And those words of the prophet Isaiah have a lasting influence to this very day, to the New Testament people of the Lord, believers in the Lord Jesus, even in the year 2020. Listen to with me to a few examples of the gospel according to Isaiah. It begins in chapter 40, verse 9. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Later on in Isaiah chapter 52, he says, awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. And in our text this morning too, arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Here we have shouts of joy in times of oppressive darkness. Here we have the answer to Isaiah's question that he asked in chapter 21. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? And his answer is, morning light is coming. Those Old Testament gospel proclamations and promises excited the hearts of the people of Israel in exile in Babylon. And they still excite the hearts of the New Testament people of the Lord today, living here in this earth, yet longing for our eternal home. These words of our text this morning remind us of the gospel call of Ephesians. Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Reminds us of God's creation command, let there be light. God himself calls his people, in Zechariah 9, to rejoice greatly. Daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you. Oh, dear congregation, let this Old Testament gospel grip us as we near Christmas. Let us be looking forward to the second coming of Christ on the clouds of heaven. And let us seek by God's grace to be prepared for our King coming to us. Our text this morning is from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1, 2, and 3. Isaiah 60, the first three verses. This is the word of God. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Thus far the words of our text, and our theme is the Lord promises his people light and glory. And we want to answer four questions that arise from these verses. First of all, what is the condition of those people? And what will enlighten them? And will anyone else be attracted to that light? And what are they and we, by implication, commanded to do? What is the condition of these people? To whom do these words arise, shine, come? Those words come to people who are powerless, who are lying down, surrounded by the night of misery. That was the case when Israel was led captive to Babylon. Ungodly pagans had come. They destroyed God's temple. The holy city Jerusalem was in ruins. And God's lament, God's people's lament arose to the heavens. The Lord has forsaken us. The Lord has forgotten us. Far away from their homeland, their longing and their love for the promised land was so great. And we hear their lament, for example, in Psalm 137 by the rivers of Babylon. There we sat down. We wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps on the willows in the midst of it. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? And yes, it was all true that Jehovah has in His wrath remembered mercy. It's true that God had not forgotten His covenant. He sent His prophets. Ezekiel came to rebuke His people. Daniel came to encourage them. Isaiah comforted them. It's true that the gospel word of the Old Testament spoke of God protecting His chosen people and promised an end to the exile, release from prison, and a return to their homeland, and promised them forgiveness of sins and light chasing away darkness. It's all true, and yet in the meantime, these people are dwelling in thick darkness, black as the night. Feelings of powerlessness and discouragement gripped them all. But see, it is only this process of deep humiliation that would bring them to carefully taking heed to their lives, to self-examination, to the realization of their guilt and humbling themselves and true repentance and returning to their God. That darkness that the people of Israel experienced, they had in common with all the other residents of the earth. But it would be far worse for the ungodly and the worldly. See, because the offspring of Abraham had the covenant promises. They had the Holy Scriptures. They had the self-revelation of God. They had received that. So even in the darkest times, there was still some joyful expectation from the Lord. And today we still echo the words of the Psalm of Ascents too, don't we? I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is mercy, and with Him is abundant redemption, and He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. But what about those who are without God and without His word? What did they have? Even mighty Babylon knew only gods of wood and stone and gold and silver. They never sought to know the living God who created heaven and earth. They knew nothing of guilt for sin. They knew nothing of the way of grace. The whole human race lay in the depths of suffering and misery. That's what it was like in Isaiah's days for the people of the Lord in captivity. But what is the condition of Christ's New Testament church? The church today. In the Lord Jesus Christ, our light has come. Jesus, the light of the world, has come to us. The Holy Spirit of grace and of prayer is at work in our midst. We are the light of the world, spreading Christ's gospel light on this earth. But does that mean that all darkness has been removed from us? We know it has not. We too need that wake-up call from our text. Arise, shine. Yes, we too, when we're made honest, acknowledge spiritual weakness, backsliding, saddening darkness. In general, the church is not walking joyously as children of the light. In general, we don't hear so much praise to the Lord God out of an assured faith. We see very little of the abundant life and joy in Christ. Is it not true? Sin is still so powerful. Doubt is often active. Many times we are like reeds blown by the wind. At times we are so much like the world around us. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life can be so strong. And it's especially true for those like us of the Reformed faith. With our precise doctrinal knowledge, we who are not satisfied just with religious activity and outward appearances, we who long to see evidences of sinners bowing before the triune God, respecting His holy word, we especially see so much darkness. The closer we live to the word of God, and the more we see everything through its lens, the more darkness we see. But the closer we live to the world and compare ourselves with its people, the sooner we will be satisfied with our own performance. We realize, don't we, that in us, that is in our flesh, as Paul says, dwells no good thing. The church responds so little to our high and glorious calling. Despite our evangelistic and mission efforts, we spread so little light. Yet we are saved by hope. We're awaiting the adoption of children. The New Jerusalem must still come down from heaven. Until then, there will be darkness all around. So what will enlighten God's people? What will illuminate God's people? Isaiah saw a striking contrast between the world and the people of God, the Lord's people. And it was like the contrast between Egypt in darkness and Israel in the light. You see it in verse 2 of our text. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you. As He said in verse 1, behold, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. That's what will enlighten and illumine God's people. The glory of God. What a comforting prophecy to the exiles there by the rivers of Babylon. Jerusalem will be rebuilt. The scattered ones will be brought back. A chapter later, in chapter 61, the Lord says, I will give to those who mourn in Zion beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. In our text, Isaiah is speaking of the earthly Jerusalem, the city. But what will enlighten Jerusalem? What will cause her to shine? What will give gladness? It's nothing less than the glory of God. His gracious presence, as it is shown in the temple in Jerusalem. That's what shows us the messianic character of Isaiah's prophecy. Here is a renewed promise of the coming Messiah, Christ Jesus the Lord. The Redeemer will come to Zion, we read together, and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. There are so many of these prophecies. Think of what Malachi says. The Son of Righteousness shall come and arise with healing in His wings. In the Song of Zechariah, we read, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high, that is the Lord Jesus, has visited us. And there we have Jesus. He comes and He says, I am the light of the world. Your light has come. The people who walked in darkness, Isaiah said in chapter 9, have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. All these prophecies, dear children, are fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Son of God came to declare it, in the birth of Jesus, we have the Word becoming flesh. And God's glory came for all His people. Throughout the whole Old Testament, we have all these shadows and sacrifices and bloodshedding and atonement, and it's now reality. Moses could only give ceremonies. Jesus Christ brought grace and truth. Moses and the prophets testified of Him. Abraham longed for His day. The Holy Spirit prophesied of His suffering and death and the glory that would follow. But you see, in the New Testament, the Lord's people do not live from visions and prophecies, but from reality. The Apostle John writes in 1 John 1 verse 1, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you." It's happened. It's reality. And yet, for us today, the words of Jesus are still true. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. At the appointed time, the light came. The glory of the Lord rose upon us. The Sun of Righteousness rose and climbed higher and higher. Also for individual believers, whoever has seen the Son of God, said Jesus, has seen the Father. A glorious, invisible God is revealed in the flesh. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. And even then, the prophecy is not yet completely fulfilled. Read a little later in chapter 60, verse 19. "The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you. But the Lord will be to you an everlasting light, and your God your glory." And we want to say, when is this going to happen, Isaiah? Where will this take place? And you find the answer in the second last chapter of the New Testament, Revelation 21. "The city had no need for the sun or for the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it, and the Lamb is its light." The Lamb is the light. And now we realize that for us too, this must still become reality. Isaiah's prophecy includes the whole new covenant. He sees complete salvation in its beginning and in its fullness. He tells us not only of the first coming of the Lord Jesus, but of His second coming. And it's good for us and our children to contemplate that during the season of Christmas. While we look back to Jesus' birth, and we think back to the Old Testament prophecies of that birth, at the same time, we are looking forward to Christ's second coming. We are looking forward to the ultimate victory of light over darkness. From our present place in darkness, it's good to look forward to the city of lights, the new Jerusalem, which shall be full of the glory of God. That's the glory of God's people. His glory is risen upon you. Through the salvation in Jesus Christ, God now dwells with His people. Right now with His Holy Spirit that is merited by Christ's death on the cross. The Holy Spirit who brings us to life, who works regeneration. And then with the fullness of His divine being. When, as the Apostle says, God shall be all and in all. Ezekiel writes of that eternal place. He says, the name of that city from that day shall be the Lord is there. That, dear children of God, is where we shall be. The Lord is there. And they shall all know the Lord. And they are all known by the Lord. May I ask you this morning, as I ask myself, are you longing for that city? Are you longing for that good that the Lord has stored up for His own? Do you already know this Lord as your Lord? And are you striving to learn to know Him better? Is your estimation of yourself decreasing while your estimation of Him is increasing? Do you desire, as it says in the Catechism, a stronger faith in Him and a holier life? That is all and alone by grace, the grace of God. We have a third question this morning. Will anyone else be attracted to that light? There is a magnetic force in that light. Where there's light, there's joy. Where there's this light, there's glory. Darkness belongs with sorrow. Light attracts. Even flowers turn their faces towards the light of the sun. Our text says, the Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Now that happened in a very small scale in Old Testament Jerusalem. Think, for example, of the Queen of Sheba, a Gentile queen who came to see Solomon and his wisdom. But see, the main thing here is not earthly matters, but the church of Jesus Christ. Since the day of Pentecost, that church has been spreading. It has become a worldwide church. But our text concerns not only the worldwide church as we know it today, but also concerns the church as she is in heaven now. A church that shall shine in her glory as a bride prepared for her husband. The glory of the Lord in the fullness of time appeared in the Lord Jesus Christ. It came to light and lighten the seed of Abraham, the people of Israel. But it was not exclusively for Abraham's seed. Yes, Zion receives light, but not only for herself, but for kings and nations. The gospel promises, in Abraham shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Not just all the families of the Jews be blessed, but all the families of the earth. Yes, salvation is of the Jews, but it's not limited to the Jews. Luke 2 verse 32, He is a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Jesus spoke to His disciples of other sheep that He has. And He must bring them in too. And He commands the disciples, go into the whole world, preach the gospel to every creature. Gentiles will be attracted to the light and the glory of the Lord's people. Back in Isaiah 2, Isaiah wrote, many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways, and we shall walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Isaiah saw the New Testament dispensation from afar. That future church for Isaiah, which began at Pentecost, where there would be no Jew or Greek, where all are one in Christ. And you know something? We are living proof of it. We are Gentiles. Many of us have been brought to Zion's glory by God's grace and God's light. We were darkness too. And we never would have come to the light. But God's glory, God's salvation, the blessed life of believers were like a magnet. God gathers His universal church out of all areas of the world, from central Alberta too. And we are attracted to the heavenly light through the preaching of the gospel, to find in Christ Jesus alone, Savior of the world, comfort for broken hearts, comfort for sin-burdened souls, peace through the blood of the cross, and joy through the Holy Spirit of Christ. Isaiah's prophecy is partially fulfilled already. People from all nations know the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ has become the turning point of world history. And all over this world, people have come to faith in Christ. Yes, the gospel light has penetrated the darkness. And the Holy Spirit has brought sinners from death to life. And the light of the gospel still attracts thousands and thousands even today and fills them with joy. But the completeness of the reality of this prophecy will be seen and tasted in the hereafter. In the New Jerusalem, there the Lord Jesus will be eternally glorified and exalted. And all the brightness and the glory of this world is but a dim reflection of God's glory. All the worldly wisdom and all worldly might and all worldly riches and majesty and greatness will pale in comparison to the triune God in all His glory. And every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And every creature shall glorify Him. John writes in Revelation 21, the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. The kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Beloved, it's all about the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the majesty of the King of Kings, and the saints shall share in the glory of the Lord. God's light in Christ Jesus shines upon His bride, His universal church, including all believers here. And we are given a command this morning. That's the fourth question this morning. What are they and we commanded to do? And we now come back to the opening words of our text. First words of chapter 60. Arise, shine. That's what the exiled church in Babylon is commanded to do. There they are, pining away in their sorrow and their misery and their darkness. And God calls to Israel, arise, shine. Put away your sackcloth. Put on your feasting clothing. Stand up from your deadness and your downcastedness, and stand firm in the glory of the heavenly light that is risen upon you. Whoever repents of sin and believes the gospel of Jesus Christ hears words of grace. That person no longer needs to sit down sighing and mourning. Yes, repenting, believing sinners may embrace God's promises by faith. Even in Babylon, a remnant of Israel raised up their heads again. Even there, they began to sing God's praises once more. Even there, the Lord worked with His grace. And they received light. And they began to testify of that light to all who would hear. There were always those living with hope, expecting the Messiah. Think of the ones we meet in the Scripture, Zacharias and Elizabeth, Joseph and Mary, Simeon and Anna. The Almighty God worked His perfect plan of salvation, and His command came, arise, shine. And that call comes to each of us personally this morning too. And that call comes to us even stronger than it came to Old Testament Israel, the captives in Babylon. To them it came as part of a prophecy that was yet to be fulfilled. But now, the light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. Christ the Savior is born. And we stand here now in the full light of what Jesus Christ has done. And we are called as light bearers to reflect our received light. We have everything that the world needs. We have gospel light. And we're called to let that light shine wherever we are. Soon, just a few more weeks, and we'll celebrate Christmas again. The mystery of God in the flesh. And we'll sing our songs, right? Joy to the world. The Lord has come. But you know, if all of this is to be profitable for our souls, we need to see something of our natural deadness and of life in Christ alone. The Holy Spirit makes room in sinners' souls for Christ Jesus by showing us the depth of our sins. And He has to do that because we are so spiritually blind by nature that we rarely know our need for light. And even after receiving grace, we so need renewed repentance and strengthened faith. We have much reason for sorrow about our little faith. Or, as Jesus said one time, have you no? The command is, arise, shine. And it's a command from the Lord God Almighty for all of us. So, beloved, let us stand up from our place of discouragement and weakness and darkness. Let us awake from our spiritual sleep and let us go towards the light. Let us be enlightened by the light of the world, Christ Jesus, so shall we shine. Let us behold God's gift to us at Christmas time, the Christ child in the manger. And let us see in Him something of the love of God shining from heaven upon us sinners. And let us stand in awe of God's glory that He displays in His beloved Son, Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul writes this, 2 Corinthians 4, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." The Christmas gospel comes and calls us to repentance and faith in Christ Jesus, freely offering us salvation. When we believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, His light shines on us and in us. And our souls are revived. And we begin to truly live. Live out of Him who is life. Let us take our place, or let us take our place again in the full gospel light. And now not just for our own comfort, not just for our own encouragement as pilgrims on this life's journey, but understanding something of our calling to be the light of the world. Christ is the great light, and we believers are the reflectors of Christ's light. Shine. That's the command to us, the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us carry our light into our workplaces, into our neighborhoods, to wherever we go. And whenever someone asks us, "Are you ready for Christmas?" there's an opportunity to spread that light. Whenever someone says, "Happy holidays," there's an opportunity to speak of Jesus Christ, because truly, He is the reason for the season. And every gift we give or receive is a reminder of God's gift. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Oh, dear believers, you have received light from above for the purpose that you can shine here below. That's what Jesus said, right? Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men. How? So that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Walking in obedience to God's holy law, people will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That's what Jesus did in His perfect obedience, in His perfect sacrifice, His perfect death, His perfect resurrection. And dear believers, that's our calling as we are being transformed into Christ's image. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon.